Welcome to the Potter's House North podcast. We hope you'll be blessed by today's message.
Lines today, I want to go to Psalms chapter 34, verse 18. It's a familiar verse, and it is in Psalms 34 and 18, and it says this, that the Lord is nigh, or he is near, or one translation says that he is an ally unto them that are of a broken heart. And he saves such as be of a contrite or a crushed spirit or life. He is nigh unto those who are of a broken heart, and he saves, delivers such as be of a contrite spirit. I just want to talk to you today, and I want to encourage you along these lines today, handling life when life is hard to handle. Handling life when life is hard to handle. It would be awesome if we could wake up every day and it'd be just perfect. But I've learned that, if you've lived any length of time, you know that that doesn't always happen. But the good thing about that is that God is perfect. And every day is the day that the Lord has made. And we just have to remind ourselves of that. And we have to get a proper perspective. Perspective is everything. Look at somebody and tell them you need a proper perspective. Handling life when life is hard to handle. That's what I want to talk about today, and I trust that the word will find you. Spirit of God, bless this food we are about to eat, and we'll give your name the glory and praise in Jesus' name. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
Amen and amen. You may be seated today in the presence of the Lord. If you're watching online, we welcome you. We welcome you to the house of God. We welcome you to one of the greatest churches in the whole wide world. Hallelujah. Not just because I'm here or anybody in particular is here, but the presence of the Lord is here. And that really does make all the difference in the world. And we just got some cool people doing some cool things in the kingdom for Jesus right here in Frisco, Texas. How many of y'all came out here yesterday to our fall festival? Wasn't that fun? Where were the rest of y'all at? And who were all them other people if it wasn't you? I mean, for real. I still can't see the people. I need to see the people a little bit better so I don't know who I'm preaching to. But we had an awesome time. I thought the kids had a great time. It was just great to walk amongst one another, meet one another, hug one another, encourage one another. Those are times that really I think are necessary. It's great for us to worship together. It's great for us to pray together. But I think it's also great for us to fellowship together, to get to know each other. Amen. I think that's why a small group is important, because it enables you to connect with people on something different than just a church level. You connect with them on a human level. And something about connecting with people on a human level makes you understand that you're not, whatever you're facing, you're not facing it alone, that 9 out of 10 times somebody in your neighborhood or in your circle is going through the very same thing that you are going through. Amen. And I'm not saying that I like everybody to have to go through, but if I am going through, it's good to know that I ain't the only one going through. And so life whenever you have the opportunity to do life and not just do church with somebody, I think that that's very important. Because sometimes life can be hard. And just because you're saved and you give your life to Jesus Christ doesn't mean that it's going to always be smooth and it's going to always be easy. And all of you that have served the Lord for more than 24 hours would have to say amen. Okay, it's not always easy. Sometimes life hurts. It's not always fun. It's not always a festival. It's not always ice cream and barbecue and face painting and all of those wonderful things that we did. It's not all fun and games. Life is really not. And it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter who you're connected with. It doesn't matter what neighborhood you live in. It doesn't matter. You can have the baddest car that's out today. It doesn't matter who, any of those things. None of those things matter. We will all, if you're human, if you're living, if you're breathing, we all face difficulties from time to time. You face them. I face them. All of us face them. And to be quite honest, Jesus warned us about that in John 16 and verse 33. when he said to us, in this world, you will have. He didn't say you might have or you could potentially have. He said, if you're in the world, you will have tribulation. Tribulation means to be pressed. It means to be burdened. It means to have distress. It means to have or to be in pain. Pain happens to all of us because hurt is universal. Pain is universal. And when we hurt, there are primarily three ways in which we hurt. One of those ways is we hurt physically. Some people live in constant, continual, chronic pain. And until you've been there, you can't even relate with what people are going through who live in that kind of physical pain. And so we hurt physically. We hurt emotionally. Emotional hurt is a little more hidden than physical hurt. And because of that, it's often harder to deal with than physical pain. Things like fear. Where you wake up and you have these fears, you have these terrors, you have this worry, things like anxiety over what the future is going to hold or what you've done in your past that's going to catch up with you, things like guilt, and that's why we need to understand that grace takes us from guilt to gratitude, and when we get a revelation of that, then we can kind of just deal with guilt and put it in its proper place. Things like anger, things like grief, things like depression, all of those kind of things are signs of emotional pain. The third way that we primarily deal with pain is we hurt relationally. And in reality, sometimes that can be the absolute worst kind of pain because that's the kind of pain that we encounter from people that we love. If I don't love you and there's not a heart connection, then you really can't hurt me because I just blow it off. But what really causes it to hurt is when my heart is connected to you. That is what causes the real pain, real intense pain. Sometimes it's a misunderstanding between people. Sometimes it's a personality conflict. Either way, it's all very real pain. Sometimes it's rejection. You've tried and you've tried and you've tried to be accepted by somebody that you love, but they never seem to do it. So that produces rejection, the pain of rejection. Sometimes it's misappropriated criticism that we face or that somebody put on us that it wasn't us, but we are the ones that are carrying the brunt of it. Sometimes it is jealousy that causes there to be pain in our relationships. You can call it whatever you want to call it, but at the end of the day, it all boils down to pain. And since pain is inevitable and it will always be a part of life, we must find ways that we can find healthy ways that we can process this pain. Because if we don't get it out of us, then we live with it inside of us. And we live with it Monday through Sunday, through Saturday. And we come to church and we somehow cover it up. And church becomes a place of therapy more than a place of growth for us. And it is time in our lives. I understand therapy. There are seasons that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of God. I just wanted to get in there. It was therapeutic. But if we spend every weekend like that for years, there's a sign that we're not getting to the root of the problem. And so we need to get to the root of that. We gotta find ways to process the pain. And one of the greatest ways I found that we can process the pain is by studying the life of David, because David was a man that went through intense pain. And he was also great at getting it out. He would pour his guts out, okay? Go into the book of Psalms if you want to watch how David processed pain. David gave us, in the book of Psalms, he has given us several what not to do scenarios when you are dealing with pain, okay? And I think that they will be, they're valuable to us today. And so I want to give you just a few of those. The first thing that David tells us not to do when we're dealing with a broken heart or when we're trying to process the pain that life has caused us to have. The first thing David wants us to know is don't deny it. Do not deny it. Don't try to blow it off as if it is not happening. Don't try to ignore it. Don't try to just say, okay, mind over matter, it's not real. You don't affect me. I'm not going to be bothered by that. Psalms 39, 2 and 3 says, this is David talking. He said, I kept quiet, not saying a word, but my suffering only grew worse. He said, I was overcome with anxiety. And the more I thought, the more troubled I became. That's pretty bad right there. The more I thought, the more troubled, he said, I became. See, personally, we have got to ask ourselves a series of questions from time to time. We got to ask ourselves, what am I pretending not to know? I'm going to help somebody in here today. What am I pretending not to know? What am I trying not just to completely ignore? What am I in denial over? Some people are so in denial that they're denying that they even need this message today. But you're here, and so you might as well listen, because it might help. It might help you a little bit later on down the road. What are we pretending not to know? Maybe your kids are on drugs, but you're trying to pretend like it's not happening, or like it's not so. Maybe your spouse is having an affair, and you know that they're having an affair, but you're trying to ignore the fact that they are having an affair. Maybe you're going further into debt every day of your life because you're trying to numb the pain that you are facing, but you're trying to pretend like that's not happening. Boy, is it quiet in this Holy Ghost Fire Baptized Church today. Some of us, you're failing on your job, but you're just going every day and you're trying to act like it ain't my fault, it's everybody else's fault. But the truth be told, when you lay down at night, you know you're not giving it the best that you got. Some of you are failing in school and you're trying to pretend like it's okay. I don't really have to know that. It's not going to be on the test. And you just, you kind of don't want to deal with the fact that you're failing. Somebody is in denial over anger and over anger issues, and here's why you're there, because based on what you have the potential, the anger that you have the potential of manifesting, you think that the little bit that you're manifesting, it ain't nothing. But the truth of the matter is, if you don't deal with things in small stages, they become big. And also this, it may not be affecting you, but it's affecting everybody that's around you, and it's unhealthy. And so now your children, your children that you love and that love you, they find themselves afraid. They never know how to approach you. And nobody should have to live life like that. I said nobody should have to live their life like that. The reason we got messed up adults today is because we had messed up adults raising children, and now those children, as they were coming up, they're messed up, and now it's just a cycle, and we're repeating it over and over and over again. But tell somebody next to you, it ends today. We pretend. Why? Why in the world are we pretending? I think we pretend because we think if we just ignore it, or we think if we just disregard it, or if we just deny it, that it will go away by itself. But the truth of the matter is, it doesn't go away by itself. What you don't fix ends up festering inside of you. I said, what you don't fix will end up festering inside of you. And when I don't admit my pain, and when I don't admit that I have blown it, all that does, David is saying, it just makes me miserable and it makes me frustrated. Can anybody say amen? Are you honest? I'm honest. Have you ever wanted to say something to somebody, but but you just like, you just couldn't say it. And so what you end up doing is you stuff it. Are there any stuffers in here today? It's stuffy in here today. There's some stuffers in here. But what you end up doing is because you don't, maybe you're not a confrontational person. And so it hurts you to deal with it as much as it hurts the person that you're having to deal with, because you're not good at confrontation. But what ends up happening is you end up frustrated and you end up miserable. And you do that for many, many years at a time. And you find sickness and you find disease and you get high blood pressure and you have all of these issues that are going on in your life. And it ain't worth it. It would have been easier 20 years ago to look at that some person and say, you know what? I don't appreciate that. But now it's 20 years later and I'm all the way down here. I got high blood pressure. I've got obesity. I got sugar diabetes. I got all kinds of stuff. All because you didn't stop somewhere and break the pattern and break the cycle and say, I love you, but I can't handle that right there. That ain't gonna work. Woo, somebody ought to give yourself permission to look at things and say, that ain't working. I'm not going to carry that another day. That doesn't work in my house. Can I talk to marriages for just a minute? People that are married, this is how Bishop and I survived, because I will look at him and say, that is not going to work. He'll look at me and say, that ain't going to work. And we respect what doesn't work with each other. And when you really love somebody and you want it to work, you'll find a way to come around from another angle. And you can make your point and not lose your spouse. But it takes a mutual respect. Okay. And so when we stuff it, it just makes it worse and worse and worse. And we're so bad about stuffing it because people will want to help you. They can see it. You don't want to admit it, but the whole world can see your blood pressure is sky high and you're angry and they want to help you and they want to give you a place to unload. And so a friend will come up to you and say, man, are you all right? And do you want to talk? And you're like, what do you want to talk about? I got nothing to talk about. I just thought we might could talk about the way you feel. I thought we might could just talk about your problem. I got no problem. If anybody's got a problem, you got a problem. I don't have a problem. You understand? I don't have a problem. Woo, look at somebody. Tell them, don't ignore it. Don't ignore it. So how do you know then when you're ignoring a problem? Here's one answer. You know that you're ignoring a problem when you procrastinate. Okay, when you, any procrastinators in the room? Okay, I know. Three of us, just pray for us, please. Okay, so how do you know when you're ignoring something? You procrastinate that problem. And you're like, okay, well, one of these days, I'm going to get some help, okay? One of these days, I'm going to find a counselor, and I'm going to talk to a counselor. One of these days, I'm going to find somebody. I'm going to talk to somebody. One of these days, I'm going to confront my sister. One of these days, I am going to confront my coworker. I'm going to stand up to them and tell them how I really feel. The reason we do that is because we always try to postpone what is painful. We try to postpone what is painful. And you know what? I'm with you. I know. It's human nature. A lot of people do that right there. We try to disregard it. We try to ignore it. And we try to do that by postponing it. And David said, I can't live like this because denying hurt never heals it. It only makes it worse. I said, that was good. Somebody should have clapped right there. I said, denying a hurt never heals that hurt. It never, ever, ever heals you. Remember last week I told you what it does is it leaves you stuck right there. I said, it leaves you stuck right there. And that's why you can be 40 acting like you're 15, because you didn't deal with that hurt when you were 15. And so it leaves you stuck. Touch somebody and tell them, get unstuck. You got too many gifts. You got too many kingdom assignments. You got too many great things in you to allow something to cause you to be stuck. Procrastination, it tends to, this is what procrastination does. It takes a minor problem and it turns it into a major problem. I said it takes a minor problem and turns it into a major problem. If you don't file your taxes and you wait until April 14th, you have just taken what could possibly be a minor problem, and now it's a major problem because you waited till the last minute. You procrastinated, okay? And what really, if you don't buy an airline ticket a few weeks in advance and you wait till the day of travel, it's gonna cost you a whole lot more than it would if you would have just been dealing with it and not procrastinating about it, all right? Always remember that postponing pain never solves pain. That's good. I said postponing your pain never solves the pain. So the second thing that David told us, he said what not to do. He said whenever your heart is broken and whenever you're processing pain, he said don't run from it. Don't run from your pain. Don't run from it. He said in Psalms 55, he said, my heart is filled with pain. Fearfulness has come upon me. If I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and I would be at rest. I would hasten my escape from this windy storm and the tempest. Anybody ever felt like that? Have you ever just woke up and started to get up and said, if I just had wings, I woke up and said, God, today would be a great day for the rapture to take place. I don't even understand it all, but I just think if you're going to do it like that, come on, let's get out of here. I mean, I've just felt like this would be a great day to get away. And you know what? If you feel that way from time to time, it's human nature to run from difficulty, okay? It is. It's just we're inclined to run from difficulty. By law, all the doors in public buildings swing out. You know why? Because when people panic, they run. But you can never, and many of us have learned this the hard way, you can never escape a problem by running from a problem. I said you can never escape. Am I helping anybody today? You can never escape a problem simply by running from a problem. And guess what? You can never solve a problem by running from a problem. And if you don't deal with the problem, eventually that problem becomes a threat, and it threatens you every day of your life, and it threatens to ruin your tomorrow because you choose not to solve it today. As a matter of fact, eventually, the truth be told, and I know this from experience, and I know some of you probably do too, that eventually, whatever you are running away from, you will sooner or later run back into. Anybody know what I'm saying? You know why you do that? Because God wants us to grow. And so he won't let us run from it. He will make sure that we run right back into it. And if we don't deal with that one, he'll turn around and give us another one. And it could be something that's even more difficult than the last one. David is saying, you cannot run from your pain. You cannot run from hurt. It is yours to confront. It is yours to conquer. Hit somebody and tell them, and you have the power to do it through Jesus Christ. The third what not to do that David tells us when you're heartbroken and when you're processing pain, he says, number three, don't cover it up. Don't cover it up. If you have a wound and you keep it covered all the time, how many of you know the healing process sometimes is longer? Because it needs some fresh air. It needs to be able to breathe. And so what he's saying to us is don't cover this thing up. Don't disguise it. Don't put on this mask like it's not real. Like it's not happening. He said in Psalms 32, he said, when I kept quiet, when I tried to cover things up, I was overcome with anxiety. I was wiped out. I was overwhelmed. What made you overwhelmed? What made you feel wiped out, David? What made you feel like you were covered with anxiety? David said, because it was when I kept quiet. It was because I kept quiet and I tried to deal with it just myself. He said, it got worse. Look at somebody and tell them, don't cover up the hurt. And we do it. We're so prone to do it. Like somebody will say, you'll wake up in the morning, you'll look at your spouse or somebody that's in your house, and you'll be like, is something wrong with you? What's wrong with you? No, nothing's wrong with me. Why would you say something's wrong with me? No, I can tell. I know when something is wrong with you. No, it is not. Everything is fine. It's about to be wrong with me, but if you don't stop saying that, you know. No, you're mad at somebody. I can tell. No, I am not mad at anybody. Yes, you are. No, I am not mad. Well, now I'm mad. Yes. Why is it so hard for us to admit that something is wrong? The answer to that is because sometimes it's easier to hide the hurt than to deal with the dirt. Okay, it's easier to hide the hurt than it is to deal with the dirt or deal with the pain or deal with the messiness of the issue. It's easier to just try to hide it. Many people are good at totally disguising their hurt, disguising their pain. How do we disguise it? We disguise it with nice clothes. We disguise it with nice cars. We disguise it by coming to nice churches and putting on a nice smile. And we just disguise it week after week after week. A lot of people just think, if I could just get enough money to take a vacation, I would be all right. A lot of people think, if I could just get enough money to remodel the house, if I could get enough money to buy a new wardrobe, I could totally redefine myself. And so we try to equate the purchase of things with the purchase of happiness, and the purchase of things will never be equal to the purchase of happiness, okay? How many of you know that's true right there? There are a lot of rich people who kill themselves every day. Somebody kills themselves, and they ain't hurting for anything when it comes to natural things. But because they cannot heal that pain that's happening on the inside of them, they end up taking their own life. Why? Simply because they're not getting to the root of the issue. The truth of the matter is, possessions will never compensate for pain. I said possessions will never compensate for pain. Hiding your hurt only intensifies it. I'm going to say that again. Hiding your hurt will only intensify it. David said, hiding caused me to be overcome with anxiety. And anxiety made me to have to face more trouble. David said, don't hide it. Don't hide it. Listen to this right here. Revealing and dealing with what you are feeling is the beginning of your healing. That's good. I'm gonna say it one more time. Okay, revealing and dealing with what you are feeling is the beginning of your healing. If you want your healing to begin, you got to reveal it, you got to deal with it, and then the healing process will begin. Revealing what you are feeling, what does that do? That takes you out of the closet, which ultimately enables you to get the release that you need so that you can go on with your life. And some of us have been on the same level for too long. And God is, you know why I'm preaching like this? Because God says, I'm getting ready to offer you a new level in the spirit. I'm getting ready to open an effective door in the spirit. So I'm preparing you so when the moment comes and I open up the door and I offer it to you, you will be ready to take it and run on and do what you've been wanting to do, what you've been believing to do, what you've been praying to do. You can possess the promise that I have given you, but it only happens when we start revealing what we're feeling and we deal with that thing. So God is not talking to us today like this church for no reason. He's talking like, I'm like an Old Testament character preacher. I love to get in there and just preach all of that stuff and make you feel like you are on the road and you feel the dust and you are with Jacob when he's wrestling with the Lord. You are there when Joshua says, get yourselves together, prepare your victuals, because tomorrow we're about to pass over. I love all of that stuff. But the truth of the matter, periodically God will say, I'm wanting to groom this church and these people to take them to the next level. And so I need you to interject this right here today, because I need them to be ready. Touch somebody, tell them, be ready, be ready, be ready. be ready, be ready. How am I going to be ready? By going ahead and saying, God, this is an issue, fix it right now, because I don't want to get over here and then be denied access to what you have with my name on it, but I can't have it because I didn't deal with this to begin with. So the fourth thing that David tells us not to do is when we're brokenhearted and when we're processing pain, he says, number four, don't worry about it. Don't worry. Don't worry. Why? Because worry is unprofitable. Anybody know what it's like to worry? Worry, just worry. Ken, just fretting yourself. Just aggravating yourself, worrying over. I heard an old saying several years ago that worry is like a rocking chair. It keeps you busy, but it never gets you anywhere. Okay. Worry, it's just worry. You lay down, you can't even sleep because you're worrying. It's just worry. It's always there, always frustrating. You know what worry is? Worry is an attempt to control something that's uncontrollable. Okay, worry is an attempt to control something that is uncontrollable. What you're doing and what I'm doing when we worry is we are playing God, okay? We are assuming responsibility that God never intended you to have. That's good. When we worry, we are assuming a responsibility that God never intended for us to have. And so we end up being defeated simply because we're trying to operate in a grace that we don't have. God said, this is my battle. This is what I'm going to fight for you. You don't have to fight this. So stop worrying about it. Now, there is a difference between worry and concern, okay? There's a difference between worrying over something and being concerned about something. A worried person sees a problem. A concerned person solves a problem. I said a worried person sees problems, but a concerned person solves problems. Oh yeah, I see it, but I'm not happy to just see it. I'm going to find a way to fix it. I'm going to find a way to get to the root of it. So you don't want to just worry. To worry about something that I cannot change is useless. It's useless. If you can't change it, why worry about it? Because it is useless. To worry about something that I can change is just dumb. So if I can change it, I'm going to change it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm just going to change. Touch somebody and tell them, just make the change. It might be as simple as you moving one thing over here to over here, and it might stop all of that worrying. Worry will aid you. I said, look at President Obama. Look at his hair. When they show clips of him running for the office, he looks like a teenager compared to what he looks like now. Look at somebody and tell them worry will age you. And tell them you are too cute to be aging too fast. Absolutely. Psalms 55 and 2. Listen to what David said. Psalms 55 and 2. David said, I am worn out because of my worries. David said, I'm worn out. Do you know what it is to be worn out? When you are worn out, something easy becomes difficult. When you are worn out, those little things, those little foxes start spoiling the vine. In Psalm 77, he said, I am so worried that I cannot speak. In Psalms 37, he said, don't give in to worry. Don't give in to anger because it only leads to trouble. What are you saying to us today, Pastor Brady? I am saying, don't worry about your problems. Work on your problems. I said, don't worry about them, work on them. Don't worry about them, pray about them. Cast all of your cares on him because he cares for you. And if we prayed as much as we worried, we wouldn't have as much to worry about. Amen? I heard a story the other day about a stockbroker, okay? One stockbroker said to another stockbroker, he said, I ain't worrying anymore. He said, I'm not worrying about it. I'm not worried about anything anymore. The other stockbroker said, well, how in the world are you going to do that in our line of business? He said, well, easy. I hired a professional worrier. Wow. So then how much did that cost you? He said, well, it cost me about $100,000 a year. And the guy says, well, how in the world are you going to pay that? He goes, I don't know. I'm going to leave it up to him. I'm going to let him worry about it. Worrying, I'm telling you, worrying never works. Look at somebody and look at them in their eyes and say, worry never works. Look at somebody on the other side and say, let it go. It never works. The fifth, what not to do that David gave us when we're processing pain. He said, don't wrestle with resentment. Don't wrestle with resentment. He said in Psalm 73, when my thoughts were bitter and my feelings were hurt, I was as stupid as an ox. Whew. And he said, I did not understand you. When my thoughts were bitter and when I allowed my feelings to just be hurt, I was as dumb as an animal. I didn't understand you, God. What is he saying? He's saying, I don't understand the situation. I don't understand what God is doing. I don't understand what I am doing. I don't understand anything that's happening in my life right now. And the reason I don't is because resentment has clouded my mind. Whew. Have you ever felt like, God, I don't know what in the world you are doing? Anybody beside me? I don't know what you, right now, somebody has said this week, God, what are you doing? I didn't think it would work out like this. I didn't plan on it happening like this. Lord, now what am I going to do? I can't even see my way clear. Why? Because resentment causes everything to be cloudy. Oh, I want to say that again. Resentment causes everything to be cloudy. Don't wrestle with that thing. Just put it up under your feet. David said, when my thoughts were bitter, he's not even saying my speech. He said, when I just thought, things became bitter. And he said, when my thoughts were bitter and when my feelings were hurt, I was dumb. I was making dumb choices because I didn't understand you, God. The one thing that, and somebody hear me close today, the one thing that is more damaging than the pain itself is being resentful about the pain. That is more damaging than the pain itself. Resentment is a poison, okay? I said resentment is a poison, and all it's going to do is prolong the pain. I said it will just prolong the pain. It'll prolong the pain. It'll cloud your vision. It'll cloud the issues, and it will ultimately rob you of the joy and the life that Jesus said, I have come that you might have. The only way, when we're dealing with resentment, if we don't bury that thing, we can never go any further. Because I'm going to tell you this, the only way that your past can continue to hurt your future is because you allow it to and you empower it. But look at somebody and tell them, not another day, not another day. Listen, church, resentment will never change what happened. I said resentment will never change what happened. What happened has happened, okay? It is over. It is dead. Be mad all you want to be mad, but it is not going to change the facts. The facts are it happened. The facts are it is finished. The facts are that it is over, and we just have to deal with it. Resentment never changes the past, but it does ruin the future. I said resentment never changes anything about what you've come through, but it does ruin everything that is ahead of you. So you got to remember this. As long as you spend your time trying to fix the blame, who can we fix this blame on? As long as you spend your time trying to fix the blame, you will never fix the problem. That's good, Pastor Brady. Don't spend your energy on trying to to wrestle with what happened. It's over. And this is what we do. We'll either spend our energy fixing blame. Well, they did that to me. Are you going to let them win? Okay, so it might look like they won for a moment, but are you going to make the win so big that it robs you of your lifetime? Absolutely not. They are not that important to you. Don't make them important. I said, don't make them important. Sometimes you don't even need, there are certain things you don't even need to address, because what it does is it makes them look big and you look little. Oh, that's good. That's good. Tell somebody you're too big to look little. As long as we are always trying to fix the blame, we will never fix the problem. Our marriages would be better if we would stop trying to fix the blame and start trying to fix the problem. Instead of turning our energy against each other, let's start turning our energy together against the problem. I said, let's turn it to, I should have had some married folk that said yes. I said, instead of turning our energy against each other, let's pull our energy together and say, we're going to fix this right here. This is not going to wreck our home. It's not going to wreck our marriage. It's not going to wreck our life. It's not going to wreck our children. It's not going to wreck our future. We're going to pull our resources together, and we're going to call this what it is. We're going to confront it once and for all, and we're going to put it up under our feet, because what God has joined together, let no man, let no pain, nothing pull it asunder. Your pain will make you bitter, or it will make you better. And guess what? The choice is yours. The choice is mine. When you are bitter, it's usually a sign that you are allowing people from your past to continue to hurt your present. Think about it. Whenever you're bitter over something, you're allowing people in your past to hurt you in your present. Look at somebody, tell them, that's just crazy. That is just crazy. David said, when my thoughts were bitter, when my feelings were hurt, I didn't understand you, God. I didn't understand you at all. And so what he said is, I withdrew into a shell and I protected myself. But in doing so, I made myself so miserable. I made myself miserable. So don't do it. The sixth thing that David tells us not to do when we are processing pain. David tells us, don't give up. Don't give up. I think you should shut your eyes and say that out loud to yourself. Don't give up. Do it one more time. Don't give up. Maybe that's where somebody is today in this room. Maybe you're saying, what's the use? What's the use, Pastor Brady? I'm at the end of my rope. I feel my life, like my life is completely out of control. Maybe you're saying, I'm like Humpty Dumpty. All the king's horses and all the king's men could put me back together again. But wait a minute. What about the king? Maybe the king himself can do it. There's hope. Just because the king's horses and the king's men couldn't put you together again, today you are in the presence of the king that has the power to take all of the broken pieces and put your life back together again. David knew exactly how you feel. He knew what it was like to hit the bottom. He said, from the depths of my despair, he said, I called to you, Lord. He said, hear my cry, O God. Listen to my cry for help. Today, I don't have a clue who I really came to preach to. But if it's for one person, it's worth it to me. If it's just for one. And here's the truth. I know what it's like to live my life heartbroken. I know what it's like to live my life in pain. I know what it's like to deny the pain. I know what it's like to run from the pain. I know what it's like to try to cover up the pain. I know what it's like to worry over the pain. I know what it's like to wrestle with resentment over what the pain has caused. But the one thing I am grateful for is I never gave up. I never gave up. And obviously you haven't given up either. You might be holding on by a thread, but I never gave up. Don't give up. How do you not give up? I processed my pain through prayer. I said I processed it through prayer. I processed my pain through worship. I processed my pain through the Word of God. I processed my pain through finding people that were going through some of the same things I was going through. But I didn't give up. Somebody says, you don't know the level of my pain. Reggie, will you hand me that cup right there? Okay, so the glass is you, okay? The water is pain. Got it? And your life is so stressed that the least little bit of movement causes the pain that's in you to spill out on everybody that's anywhere around you. You see what I'm saying? If anybody just moves you the wrong way, all of a sudden, the pain just comes pouring out. Some of you are filled to the brim with pain, that the slightest stress devastates you, pushes you overboard, frustrates you, makes you angry, and you just pour out on anybody that's in the vicinity. Well, what do I do about that? Pastor, if I can't deny the pain when I'm heartbroken, if I can't run from the pain, if I can't cover it up, if I can't worry about it, if I can't wrestle with resentment, and if I can't give up and just quit, then what can I do? If none of that works, then what does work? Let's ask David. He's smarter than me. He said, I will bring my complaints to God. I will tell him of all of my troubles. And when I'm ready to give up, he is the one that knows exactly what I should do. David said, instead of giving up, instead of just spilling out all over anybody and everybody, he said, I'm gonna take it to God. I'm gonna give him my pain. I'm gonna give him my hurt. I'm gonna give him my frustration. I'm gonna give him my broken heart, because he is the only one that knows how to do anything about any of it. David said, when I'm ready to give up, when I'm ready to throw in the towel, I am going to bring it all my complaints to God himself. I ain't blaming nobody. I ain't cursing nobody. I ain't hurting nobody. I ain't going to be angry at nobody. I'm not going to do anything to anybody, but I'm going to take my complaints to God. Just a little nugget of insight. When you are powerless to change a situation, then you have to look to someone that has power beyond yourself. You got to look to somebody that has power beyond what you have. God is that power. I said, God is that power. He's greater than any pain you will ever experience. He's greater than any broken heart you will ever encounter. Jesus Christ said, when you know the truth, that the truth shall make you free. Free from what? Free from hurt, free from pain, free from a broken heart, free from discouragement, free from the inhibitions of failure. And then after you have brought all of your complaints to him, just remember what he promised us. He is an ally to those who are brokenhearted. And he saves those who have a crushed spirit. God is actually saying, you're never closer to me than when you are hurting. You're never closer to me than when you are hurting. I know you feel like that's when you're the furthest away. But trust me when I tell you, you're never closer to him than when you are hurting. So there's a right way and a wrong way to process pain. One leaves you bitter and it limits your future. But the other leaves you better and it leaves your future full of potential. Guess what? There's only one letter that is different between the word bitter and better, and it is I. That means the choice is mine. I have the option to choose. Did y'all enjoy that? Come on, jump up on your feet.
Thank you for joining us today. We'd love to have you join us online every Sunday morning at 9 and 11:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Streaming live at www.tphnd.org/watchnow. Or through our Potter's House North app.